As you well know, we invite a bookseller each and every week, normally on Tuesdays, to talk to us about cool books that have hit their store shelves. Because of the hearings that we have been running, we're a few days off, but here we are. Great to have Jackie Callahan with us this morning. How are you?
I'm fine, and it's great to be here.
How's everything in your beautiful shop on Tinker Street in
Wonderful.
Woodstock?
Wonderful. They did some snow removal early this morning, so now you can actually see our front door.
Nice.
To our store, so that helps.
That's good. And of course, the weather's turning, it'll be gone before you know it. We have two stacks going, so where would you like to begin?
I'll start with this stack.
Okay.
On my way here, I was thinking about how, as I read more and more, and you're a tremendous reader, and I don't know if you feel this way, but there's, in fiction anyway, I find that I'm gravitating towards two things. One of them is like pure escapism in genre fiction, like with the mysteries and thrillers
sure.
and so forth.
Yeah.
And the other is like fables, fiction that is a little bit more fable-like. And I don't know if it's because of my age or the times that we're living in, but when I got here, I decided to look up what is the definition of fable. And the one that I like is that it's a narration intended to enforce a useful truth. I read this book, the first book I'm going to talk about, Exit West, by Mohsin Hamid. Hamid. And it is a fable. It's a kind of dystopic fable. It's an amazing book. This is, I believe, his third or fourth novel. It takes place initially in a city that's a lot like Lahore, Pakistan. That's where Mohsin lives, the author. And it's the story of two characters, Saeed and Nadia, and they're both young adults, and they meet in a class, an evening class on like corporate branding. And Saeed, it works in kind of like advertising, and Nadia works for an insurance company, and she is fully covered. They live in a religious society. Mm-hmm. It's not named exactly. The city isn't named. And they fall in love, through looks at each other, through spending a little bit of time together. They live in a city where things are falling apart. There's some kind of civil war. And at first it seems like the government is holding on, but then the rebel forces come in and the world gets smaller. And eventually Saeed and Nadia do commit to each other. They're not married. Saeed is living with his parents. In some ways he's very traditional. He prays a lot. Nadia is living on her own. She's left her family. And she ultimately gives up her apartment because where she's living is too dangerous. And she moves in with Saeed and his father after his mom dies. One of the interesting things about this book is that it does incorporate a kind of magical realism. So they're locked down in their city. Eventually their jobs, they just shut down because they can't be maintained. There's very little food. People's civil rights are being infringed upon by both the rebels and the government. There seems to be no way out. People they know, Saeed's mother, killed, by a sniper bullet. What to do? Well, it turns out that there are these doors that are first rumored, and then they actually know people who go through these doors to other worlds. You have to know someone, pay someone to go through them. And finally, they come in contact with someone who could take them through one of these portals, and they pay them, and that's what they do. Saeed says goodbye to his father, knowing that he'll never see him again, hoping that he'll come back. The portal leads them to Mykonos, and they're in a kind of refugee camp of similar people who've gone through the doors. And then from Mykonos, they go to London, and then from London, they go to San Francisco. They never marry, they're committed to each other, but eventually they're sort of living more like brother and sister, and they're in these refugee communities, and especially in London, where they're living in this big house, there's kind of nativist forces that are trying to get them, to keep this refugee community down.
Right.
And ultimately the nativist forces give up because it's just a reality. The reality of the world that Mohsin's describing in this novel is one where there's large communities of expatriates from all over the world living outside of what were cities in specific countries. And in many ways, it's a book where nations slip away. People don't have money and they're living in these communities. And it is dystopic and it is bleak. And it is a kind of future, I think. Mm-hmm. And it just, to me, it really, even though in some ways it isn't my favorite book of all time, but it has really stuck with me. And maybe it's because of the times that we're living in. Are we time migrants? The kind of order that we're experiencing now that we've been so lucky to have in our Western world, in the United States, things have changed. And so and things will keep changing all over the world. And this is an argument for humanity, for humanism and compassion towards people that cross borders all the time. And, you know, who are we to say that we aren't those people too? So this is a really great book, and I recommend it so strongly.
Exit West by Mohsin Hamid.
The next book I'd like to talk about is Joan Didion's South and West. This is actually, in some ways, not a book. This is a publication. Well, it is a book, but these are notes that she took for a story that she was going to write in the early 70s about a trip, road trip in the South, okay? And the better part of the book are those notes. It's very impressionistic. She's traveling, driving. She's on a road trip with her husband, and they're driving from Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, back again. And she's recording what she thinks about the South, and in a way, it defeats her.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, you'll read great sentences. I'm going to read one because they're amazing. She's talking about New Orleans here. The Crips above ground dominate certain vistas. In the hypnotic liquidity of the atmosphere, all motion slows into choreography. All people on the street move as if suspended in a precarious emulsion, and there seems only a technical distinction between the quick and the dead. And that's amazing. And you know,
and that's from her notebook.
That's from her notebook. You know, I read that sentence to a friend who he's, you know, from the South, and he's like, you know, that's amazing.
Yes.
And it is. And people have been, in some of the reviews written about this, as well as, honestly, the opening forward to the book, is that, you know, she's prescient in terms of identifying the South as being like the psychic center of our country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she really explicitly does that because it's an unformed work, right? She suggests at it because she's not able to name it in the way that maybe in some of her other beautiful works, Slouching Towards Bethlehem and so many others, where she just nails things. And in sentences like that, like I just read, you can feel what she's something, but she doesn't quite get there. But it's a really interesting, amazing read. So,
South and West by the great Joan Didion.
Next book I want to talk about, which is a really interesting, cool book, is called Blitzed, Drugs in the Third Reich by Norman Ohler. This is translated from the German. This was a bestseller in Europe and Germany last year. And Norman Ohler is actually a fiction writer. He's not a historian. And one of his sort of fascinations is 20s Germany. He is German. And he was writing a lot, exploring issues of drugs in post-World War I Germany, and kind of started seeing a pattern of just like, wow, drugs are really prevalent. I wonder what was going on and how they led up to the Third Reich and socialism. And so he dives in and, with the help of a real historian, really discovers that the drug industry, which really consolidated after World War I and started producing heroin, cocaine, and eventually methamphetamine on a mass basis, was used quite regularly in the population and weaponized by the Germans and in the German army. And he talks about how it was used to invade France by the particular army that was going to move through. They decided that each soldier would have about 5 tablets of Prevotin, okay, which is methamphetamine, and they were meant to take it every 12 hours for 3 days in order to stay awake for 3 days to make this move. And they do. And no one thought that it could be done. And it's a conclusion that he makes is that there would have been no invasion of France without methamphetamines. Maybe there would be no Blitzkrieg without methamphetamine. Mm. So that's part of the book, is how it's used in the German army. The other part focuses on Hitler's personal physician, especially on the kind of cocktail of drugs that Hitler was on from 1941 up until the time of his death. It's incredible. There are more than 60 drugs that he was on, and he was psychotic. You know, there's a lot that's obviously been written about World War II and especially Germany, and, you know, this is something new and something that people hadn't talked about for whatever reason. So it's a really good read, and especially for people who are interested in World War II history.
Norman Ohler is the author. It is Blitzed, Drugs in the Third Reich.
This next book that I'm going to talk about actually comes out the first week of April, and this is a graphic humor book, I guess you could say. It's by Orly Auslander, and it's called I Feel Bad All Day, Every Day, About Everything.
Who can't relate to that at some point in their life, right?
And the book goes through 1 through 100 things that Orly feels bad about every day. So, for instance, let's just start with number one. I feel bad, number one, I'm late for preschool. That's on one side. And then the picture, the illustration on the other side says, you know, snooze button I pressed 18 times, book I fell asleep reading, cookies I ate at 1 a.m. What Orly is exploring, I think, in particular, is the guilt that one feels as a mother, as a woman, every single day. And she, in the foreword to the book, she talks about how her therapist had suggested that she writes about all of the guilt feelings that she was having every day. And as she did, she began to see sort of the humor in them. And also, they helped free her up a little bit and being too tied up in her neuroses. And she decided to write about all these different reasons that she feels bad. And she says that it comes from being a woman, a Jew, a Middle Eastern, a Gemini. And mostly, they come from being hopelessly human. And a lot of the stuff I can't read on air. But it is so funny and it is so dark. I feel bad, number 19. I buy my kids too many toys. And then there's an illustration of Target and it just says, Welcome, Orly.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's great. It's a really amazing book. I feel bad, number 39. I lie to my kids. Do you think I could play for the NBA when I grow up? The kid says to Orly. Of course.
Absolutely.
Lying to her kid.
Well, maybe,
something
maybe
to
not.
Feel bad.
You don't know, do you?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
It's a great book. Please be on the lookout for it. It'll be in stores in about 2 weeks.
Orly Auslander is the author, the name of the book, I Feel Bad All Day, Every Day. We have about 2 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to quickly mention some amazing new picture books, some a little bit newer than others. This first one has a wonderful triangle with eyes on the cover. And guess what the book is called? It's called Triangle, and it's by Mark Barnett and John Klassen. And it's the adventures of a triangle versus his sometimes enemy, the square.
Oh, so it's sort of a dot and line kind of thing.
He plays a trick on square and walks across other shapes. And then square pays him back by playing a trick on him.
Beautiful illustrations and
beautiful illustrations.
And nicely
paper
put together.
Overboard. And the shape of a book is a square.
Very nice.
There's a triangle on it.
Very cool.
Next book I wanted to talk about, which won the Caldecott this year. It's such a beautiful book by Javaka Steptoe. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And it's Radiant Child, and it's the story of a young artist, Jean-Michel Basquiat. And the way that the art for this is done is actually Steptoe took found materials all over New York City, okay, to create the illustrations in the book. And in the book, he recreates some of Basquiat's art, but it's all his interpretations of the art. And basically, it tells the story of Basquiat growing up in New York City with his parents, what inspired him, and how sometimes the art that he made looked messy, but it was beautiful.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's a really, really beautiful book. One of the things that I love about it is that it does include a biography of Basquiat in the back. It talks about symbolism in his work, and it has a little biographical note from the author. So it's a wonderful book to be used in the classroom.
Radiant Child is the name of the book.
Last picture / poetry book that I'm going to talk about is called Out of Wonder, and it is called Out of Wonder, Poems Celebrating Poets, and it's by Kwame Alexander with Chris Colderly and Majory Wentworth, edited by Yuka Holmes. And I just have the biggest crush on Kwame Alexander. I think he's brilliant poet, writer, illustrator, educator. And this is a book of his favorite poets, okay, where his co-writers are writing poems in the manner of, in the style of, the poets that they are celebrating, okay? And so the book is divided up into three sections on style, on In Your Shoes, so from point of view, and also Thank You. And it's a great book, again, resource for teachers to teach kids about poetry and to write poems. And I just buy this book for your kids today and read them a poem.
It is Out of Wonder, Poems Celebrating Poets by Kwame Alexander.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was a great list. Are there two more you wanted to
mention?
Well,
yeah, there were two
quick?
More I wanted to mention. A really beautiful book called The Quarry Fox and Other Critters of the Wild Catskills by Leslie Sharp, in the tradition of John Burroughs and other people that have written beautifully about the nature surrounding us in our Catskill Mountains. Leslie Sharp is writing about the Western Catskills, the other side of the Catskills. We're going to be doing an event for this in our store April 1st.
April 1st?
April 1st. The other book, biography that came out, we actually did an event for this last week, but it's a biography of Barney Russett, and he started Grove Press, and he was in the thick of it in terms of defending cases against censorship back in the 40s and 50s.
Barney by Michael Rosenthal. You can find out more about the Golden Notebook and the great work that they do by going to their website, GoldenNotebook.com, GoldenNotebook.com. Also, you can find out about the event on the 1st for the Quarry Fox and Other Critters of the Wild Catskills. Better yet, go park the car on Tinker Street or wherever you can find a place and park the car. You can now see the store. The snow's gone. You can see some of the store and go in and browse to your heart's content. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, thank you.
You can find the full list of Jackie's books on both GoldenNotebook.com, but also on our website, WAMC.org/roundtable. Jackie, it's always a pleasure to have you here. We'll talk very soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.